This Sunday, we turn to John chapter 10. Many chapters in the scriptures have particular themes, and the theme of John chapter 10 is that Jesus is our good shepherd, and so it's a part of our annual schedule of readings. Today, we'll look at the first 10 verses, and those verses will serve as our sermon text. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So far, our sermon text. And let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, sheep of the great shepherd. A door keeps honest people honest. That's how it keeps them out. Burglars and robbers, well, they just find some other way around if they think there's something valuable behind the door. And they break and they enter. Generally speaking, if you see somebody entering a house through a window, it's probably a good idea to call the police. In ancient Israel, the owner of a flock would build what's called a sheepfold. It's a kind of corral for sheep. It usually had high stone walls and a single door. And when the flock was to be gathered together for safety, they would be brought into the sheepfold for protection. The shepherd and his under-shepherds would bring all of the sheep into the sheepfold through the door, and then they would secure that door. The sheep, after all, were their livelihood. The shepherd brings the sheep into the sheepfold through the door to keep them safe. He brings in the whole flock, and he only closes the door when they're all accounted for, when they're all safe, because that's the purpose of the sheepfold. Jesus uses this image. It might be a little unfamiliar to us, but it was very familiar to the people of Israel. He uses this image of a sheepfold and its door and the shepherd and the sheep to make a point. In chapter 9, just before our text, John records that the Jews were trying to figure out what to do about the fact that Jesus had healed a blind man, a man who had been blind from birth. Jesus gave him his sight back. And that man, so grateful for what Jesus had done, that man went around telling everybody he could about Jesus. But instead of recognizing who Jesus was, the The Jews, and especially the Pharisees who happened to be around that man, they would not believe. In fact, they cast this man out. But Jesus went and found him again. And he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man who had been blind answered him, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And then Jesus said, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." The man who had been blind said, "Lord, I believe." But the Pharisees who heard this exchange between this man and Jesus, they said amongst themselves, are we also blind?" And to that Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Those Pharisees, they knew what the word said. They knew what the Bible said. They were not ignorant. They were not blind, but could see full well what was going on. Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy of giving sight to the blind, to identify himself as the Messiah, but they refused to believe him. They worked against God's word, while at the same time saying that they could see, that they understood the truth. And people around them were listening to this teaching of the Pharisees. And this is the context of John chapter 10, where we find the words of our sermon text this morning. There Jesus again uses this familiar image of a sheepfold and its door, the shepherd and its sheep, to make his point to the Pharisees. The first point that he makes is that there is only one way for believers to live. We go in and out and find pasture through the door. And Jesus explains that he is the door. We go in and out and find pasture led by Jesus, our good shepherd. This is an indispensable truth, and we know it because we've heard the voice of our shepherd. He's called us by name in our baptisms. Our names are engraved upon the palms of his hands, as the prophecy says. We know him. We follow him because we've heard his word. In this way, Jesus is the great uniter. He speaks of his whole church as the sheep of his fold. All those who hear his voice and believe, he's called us all together into his flock with his gracious word of forgiveness, life, and salvation. He speaks the truth, and by God-given faith, we know his word to be true and good. We listen to him, we hear him, we follow him. Every Christian on this earth and every sainted believer in heaven, we're all united by this one good shepherd, because we were all as good as dead in the jaws of that lion who prowls about seeking whom he may devour, the devil. And we were all dead in our sins and trespasses, and we were all headed to the grave of hell, and Jesus threw himself in between us and the devil, in between us and the world and our own sinful nature. He laid down his life for all of us on Calvary, and it was no ordinary life. His life was the perfection that we didn't have before God. His life was the good works that we should have done and none of the evil that we have done. His life was the light of all mankind because he was in truth God in the flesh. And so great was that divine life that it covered all our sins when he gave that life for us on the cross. So great was his divine life that death could not keep him in that tomb. We know that he rose on the third day according to the scriptures, so that in him we have eternal life, just as he promised. And he called under-shepherds to call out with this truth, first the apostles and then others, to gather the flock, to shepherd them at his direction to the sheepfold of his church. He values you. He treasures you. He would protect you. And the pastors whom he sends go with his blessing, opening the door to the sheep, operating without deceit, hopefully, in the light of day, bringing the sheep to the door. But the Pharisees and those who teach falsely, even to this very day, they go out in Jesus' name too. But look at their behavior. They do not go to the door. They do not open the door, but they point to something else. They come in among the assembled sheep by other ways. They climb in, for they are thieves and robbers. They care little for the sheep of Jesus' fold. They would not lay down their lives for them. But they find some value there in somehow fleecing the sheep. What saves the sheep from this? Is it their fangs? Well, they don't have any. Is it their claws? By nature, they're defenseless creatures. Instead, what saves us is our ears. The voices of these thieves and robbers are unfamiliar because they do not always speak the word of the Good Shepherd. And it's for this reason that St. Paul wrote to us, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine, to the teaching that you've been taught. Avoid them." When you recognize that the teacher that you're hearing is not speaking the word of the Lord, that he knows the word and refuses it, then avoid that person. That's what the scriptures tell us. In this way, Jesus is the great divider. As the door, he makes apparent those who come among his sheep by another way, because those false teachers avoid the door by day. They come over the wall stealthily. They look religious. They sound religious. Their deeds appear righteous. But then why do they avoid the door? Why do they refuse the door? They come with sweet words dripping like honey, but their words are full of lies, the venom of the serpent. Their thoughtful ways seem right to a man, but in the end, they lead to destruction. And the Pharisees in chapter 9 were proving themselves to be just such people. They were scrupulous. They tithed regularly. They went to the temple all the time. They were charitable and prayerful. But the sound of their teaching made it clear that they were not listening to the word of God, and they were not speaking the word of God. Their ways were not the way and the truth and the life. They were looking for something else. Their words were not the words of the Good Shepherd. Though outwardly it would have been very difficult for anyone to distinguish. The deception is very crafty. Sometimes those who speak falsehood don't even know themselves that they're doing it. But when the word of the Lord comes to them in the scriptures, they turn away from parts of it that they don't like. When a blind man sees by a miracle of the Almighty, and Jesus identifies himself as the Messiah by fulfilling that prophecy that he would give sight to the blind, well, these men would not see it. When this Jesus comes back from the dead, they refuse it. They're still looking for another person to be their Messiah, someone who will fit the mold that they have in their minds. Those who come into the sheepfold in some other way than the door and are not misguided or merely mistaken or making an error in their understanding. We all do that. But they come in intentionally speaking these things contrary to the word of God. They are evil. That's not my assessment as a human being. That's Jesus' assessment in our text. When we hear a message that is not his, we're not to overlook it. We're not to just say, oh, not a big deal. When we hear the strange voice speaking something new and different from what God says, our ears are not to itch for more either. We're to turn away from that and listen again to the word of our Lord. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, it says, should not a people seek their God? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The word is how we are to know and follow the shepherds who serve the good shepherd who leads us. So it is true, on the one hand, that Jesus is the great uniter of the church. He brings us together by the power and authority of his word. He unites us in himself as our good shepherd. He lays down his life for us. He takes it up again for us. He unites us even in his own body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And yet, on the other hand, it's also true that Jesus is the great divider. For those who will not listen to him, those who secretly oppose his ways, well, they're made recognizable by his word because they won't approach the door in straightforwardness, with integrity and earnestness of heart. Such people, such teachers, and shepherd-looking people, we have to turn away from them. It's not rude or disrespectful or arrogant any more than when a sheep runs away from a wolf. It is what we are to do. Spiritual survival is at stake, for there is no life with wolf and world, only death. No life in us. Our life is in Christ. Our life is in, with, and under our good shepherd, as he brings us out and brings us in. May he keep us together in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Our service continues with our hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want."
Dark veil, yet will My table thou hast furnished in presence all of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be.
We continue with the responsory and the prayers. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Arise, O Christ, and help us, and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright sun of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Dear Jesus, our risen Savior, truly you are our good shepherd, for you gave your life for us, your sheep. Surely it was your great love for us sinners who were lost and straying that moved you to come into this world, to live, to die, and to rise again, that we might have the life that does not end. Good Shepherd, we owe you faithful, heartfelt thanks and praise and our continual love and devotion for all that you have done and still do to ensure our earthly and eternal welfare. It is true we have become your sheep by trusting that you are our Savior and God. Nevertheless, we must confess that we still have an old rebellious nature that is stubborn and sinful and continually leads us astray. Therefore, we need your loving patience as our good shepherd to deliver us from our sinful ways, to protect us from our own foolishness, and to forgive our many sins. We need you to take the evils and dangers that beset us and turn them to our good. We need you to hear and answer our prayers, and we need to hear and heed the sound of your voice as you speak to us in Holy Scripture. Do not, on account of our sins and stubbornness, turn away from us. Our shepherd, by your continual presence, comfort and cheer us in every journey we must make through this dark, shadowy valley. Satisfy us with the green pastures of your word, and there nourish our faith. Quench our thirst for righteousness with the refreshing streams of salvation. When we are oppressed on every hand by troubles, distress, temptations, sickness, sin, and heartache, yes, when life seems too difficult to endure, teach us to turn our eyes of faith to you, the Good Shepherd, and to cast all our cares upon you. Answer our anxious cries, for only you know what is best for us. Refresh us with your help and guidance, your protection and healing. Especially when we walk through the valley of death itself, be with us. shepherd and overseer of our souls. Dispel the gloom that surrounds us with the bright promise of salvation, filling us with joy and confidence as one by one we journey from this life to heaven. Cause goodness and mercy to follow us the rest of our days. Hear us, merciful Savior and Shepherd. And gracious Father in heaven, we pray today for those in their needs and ask that you hear us for Christ's sake. We pray for the families whose loved ones have recently departed this vale of tears. We pray for those who are dealing with illness, especially today we pray for Sarah Dale, who is dealing with this COVID virus. We ask that you would be with her and her family, that you would safely bring her through this illness. We pray for those who are dealing with long-term health care issues, especially we pray for Neil Wendt and Bill Stewart, for Jackie Gailey and Gene Nickel, Forrest Mackey and his brother John, Jim McBride, Rick Seals, Richard Rado, and Connie Doughty. We ask that you would restore their health fully if that's what's best for them, but increase their faith no matter what. Strengthen them to trust in you. And if it pleases you, God, and is best for your people and the people of our stricken world, remove this plague from all the earth and restore those who have been hurt by it. Finally, strengthen our faith in this crisis, that we rely on you and not on our own senses. Point our eyes heavenward to the eternal things so that we might order our earthly lives rightly, and embolden us with the joyful truth that we are the sheep of the Good Shepherd, so that we might share with others the reason for the hope that we have. Leave us not to the temptation of worry and fretting, but direct our attention to your word for certainty in the coming days. All these things we ask in the name of our great shepherd, Jesus. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty, order this day and all our doings in his peace.
Amen.
Amen.